Buonasera a tutti, grazie di essere venuti qui intanto a tutti. Vedo che avete già preso il poster, quindi non c'è bisogno di dirvi che ce ne sono diverse copie su. Intanto ringrazio Alberto Salvadori e Mario Marini per aver ospitato questo evento. E volevo introdurre Trisbon Amici con alcune frasi che esemplificano un po' quello che è la sua pratica. Scorrono veloci davanti ai miei occhi immagini di cui non riconosco più la provenienza. Nel 1989 o nel 2001 vorrei che tutte le memorie potessero coesistere in un'unica storia, in 12 minuti o in un unico collage di ricordi.
I think answering that is not really, it's not really possible in terms of what is the narrative, because there are so many different forms for me that I would consider, you know, like, what is the narrative tonight is very different to what is the narrative when I'm trying to write the script or when I'm writing the text or when I'm making an installation. So narrative is always there in every different, like, let's say, attempt to communicate something. But for a performance, I think narrative takes a different kind of essence for me. And it's not a question mark, really. The notion of what narrative is for me is not the question. It's really about how certain kind of experiences or images, let's say, or forms can be communicated within certain parameters. So it's always, for me, it's really about kind of form and time. For me, it really is quite an attempt just to understand how certain kind of images and let's say chapters of information can be reconstructed and communicated within these new frameworks, whether it's the architecture, the public, the presence of the public, the time, the egg timer, and the certain kind of core set of information I'm trying to work with. That is anyway in itself narrative, but it's not really an issue for me in terms of when I perform. It's not really about trying to deal with notions of narrative. It's an inherent quality to it, or perhaps also a hindrance, you know? Time is like, you know, is the reason why everything is so accelerated, why an experience can only last in this situation 12 minutes. Sure, I mean, there is a kind of the biological aspect that physically I'd have to stop after 15 minutes because I would be dehydrated and I'd have no saliva left in my mouth. Now that's obviously an issue I've got to deal with, but if I had more time, it would be irrelevant, because time doesn't have this, it's not the same commodity in art, really. I think it's not the same thing where if I said this is going to last 3 hours, no one's going to hang around for 3 hours. If it needed to last 3 hours, it would last 3 hours if I could physically do it. I think time is always like that, like the works, the content takes on a certain persona that's very much subordinate and affected by the lack of time, and also my perception of what is a kind of a unit of information that can be experienced and appreciated, because in that respect, people don't have that attention. When you perform in this way, I struggle physically, but if I say as much as I say in a performance in 12 minutes, that's so much information that if it was any longer, it would kind of like combust in terms of all sense. And there's always this kind of this bordering where I know that I want to say something, I want to communicate something. It's not totally dadaistic. You know, there is a certain sense where, of course, the work enters a certain phonetics and meaning starts to kind of unfold sometimes when certain passages of text become more rhythmic or more about creating images, as in compound abstract images that fill people's minds. And these things perhaps I lose a sense of narrativity, a sense of clarity in a story. But at the same time, I'm aware it's always like, I'm always conditioned by it. I'm always conditioned by the egg timer. Without the egg timer, without a certain, let's say, parameter, I'm lost. So I can't really handle the idea that there is no time as a parameter for performing. It doesn't interest me, because by adding that ingredient of time, it creates a tension and it creates a framework. What it simply does is creates a canvas or a gallery space, just white cube space or black cube space. It creates something that I know I've got to traverse, and that intensivity of that you've got 12 minutes, it's always a fallacy. I never really have any time at all. When I say 12 minutes, the egg timer never works anyway. And if it does work, it's only a hindrance, and it's only something that jumps, as in like a signal, like this is actually broken. This fiction that I've created is broken, or, oh, this was just a time exercise. This is a fiction in itself when I perform. So the egg timer really doesn't have, it's not as if when the egg timer rings, I stop and I don't talk anymore. And at the same time, the egg timer never rings anyway. Somehow it never works, as in that technology, it always kind of escapes its purpose when it comes to what I want from it anyway. So I think time for me, when it comes to performing, is really important, and it's more important than like, let's say, an attempt to tell a story. Like, it's not about a succession of anecdotes, it's not about telling a tale or espionage, and it's not about an attempt to question narrativity. It's really somehow always a flirtation and an attention between time and something that doesn't exist in a way, just memory. It's kind of, obviously, when one talks, or if it's like spoken word, it's not even, again, it's the same with narrativity. It's not a question of the role that that sound has. It is the consequence. It has to, right? Because I'm talking, so therefore, the sound is. It's an issue in terms of whether I want this piece to be phonetic and experiential, and more, as I said before, like more kind of dataistic or abstract in its essence and its intention of a whole, a totality. I never think about it in terms of, I want to tell a story. You know, I think the telling story bit is a little bit, that's an internal thing, that I know the stories that I want to tell, but I want to understand, out of these stories, which of them become, let's say, which of them become spoken word, and which of them remain simply immaterial, and which of them become printed, or which become text, like in a book, so to speak. And I think in that respect, some narratives or some kind of storylines can only become performatized, in my opinion, once they have actually entered the space, and once the conditions of the phonetics, or the way that it travels, the words leave my mind and travel in space, that perhaps is actually when I feel that work is coming into existence. So some things I perform that I would never ever dream of writing or even thinking in my head or saying as an anecdote, and sometimes it is only the context and the public really that create that tension and that adrenaline that makes me want to kind of deal with it more as an abstract piece, but always abstract pieces that then get excerpted and recycled for the next other total. But with me, nothing's really kind of, there's no script, and everything is somehow at the moment so fragile in its essence and identity, and it's all kind of interchanging. But it's not really about sonic exploration that way, you know. I still think it is really still at the moment thinking about certain, in a way, certain experiences that I want to find the form for, and then trying to find out how to recycle, how to rework that form. And every different space I'm given is another opportunity. Unfortunately, 90% of the spaces I'm given are identical. I'm performing in Italy, and you know that half the people are going to be people from a certain kind of context where they are all either not Italian, they're from anywhere in the world, and they are informed in terms of like they're critics or they're curators or they're artists. And I think there is, in this way that I work, and most of us, of course, who would perform in a museum or whatever, I mean, you know, there is a certain homogenization, of course, of who we really are dealing with as a public. So when I would go and perform in Napoli, you'd think, okay, Napoli, what would that mean as a public? But at the end of the day, you know, the public, they will not be the real kind of the people of Napoli, so to speak. You're going to get the art scene in every different city, which means generally it's quite bilingual, and there is a different kind of people that you engage with. After a while, it's a problem. You do see the same faces, so to speak. And in some places, you do perform when the people are totally, you've no idea who you're dealing with, and that's when it's most interesting. It's like when you know that actually what you're going to say can be totally lost. It can, in terms of a translation or a language, also in terms of a sympathy as well. I mean, different contexts and communities are not that sympathetic at all. There are certain things I'm interested in as well, but as a reference, I mean, in a way, the reference really was the whole kind of concrete poetry thing, sound poetry, and it's an art context, but art very much, you know, poetry, literature, writing context as a beginning point. The art context that I'm doing now is only simply because this is the generation that I'm, you know, this is where I am now. This is the time where I'm working, where that was a past whole kind of movement. And this is what I do now. This is of course applicable to the context I'm living in. And that's why I find myself in the art context like this. But as an inspiration or as an origins, it does come from very much that kind of movement of let's say of poetry. And now, let's say, trying things with musicians or these kind of ideas, it's on my mind. Like, I'm working, not necessarily with a musician and singing together, of course, but we're trying to work out some kind of a collaboration that's been going on for several years with several different musicians, but we've never really brought it to fruition. But at the same time, you know, I have performed in theatres, and I have performed, even at the very beginning, I tried a performance a couple of times on radio where it was very difficult because there was no public, and it, for me, it was fine, but I realised very soon after that experience that it was something very alienating about it, and I felt that the lack of tension, of real tension, that a perceivable, palpable public, meant that the stakes weren't very high. It meant that I couldn't really get that fuel to make it combust, so to speak. And that's always the thing, is like, you know, when I perform in the theatres, like, the lights are off, the public, you don't see them, it's ticketed, they come in, there's a bell that rings, an interlude. That totally just dissects that whole ball, that tension that I need. And that kind of meant that I didn't really know what I was dealing with. And in the theatre context, for example, I asked the theatre to remove all the chairs. All 300 chairs were removed, and they were a bit reluctant, like, why do you remove the chairs? And I performed on the stage, and the public came onto the stage, and I had these sculptures installations on the stage, and they were meant to come onto the stage and then mingle around into the walk around between the installation, and then I would perform within it, and they would be very close to me. And because it was an art house type theatre, it meant the public were also quite mixed. But what happened was they came in, and even though there were no chairs, they all went to the back of the space where the chair, you know, obviously the steps would still exist. They sat on the wooden kind of slants and steps as far as possible, and waited for the spotlight to come on. But there was no spotlight that was going to come on, because the spotlight, the whole stage was lit by projections and lit basically by the installations, and they were meant to be closed in a way. And I didn't, and you could see that, like, I didn't orchestrate. And the theatre, everyone, the people that worked there were going like, oh shit, why are they all sitting in the back of this? And I remember thinking to the guy that I collaborated with, a musician, and we both said, that's really weird. Why are they so far away? What are we going to do now? We've got to move, because all of his keyboard and everything, all his stuff was at a certain point, and we realized that we're fixed now because we can't move anymore. We're not flexible. That flexibility that I have tonight, like what story, what, you know, which chapter, how long, how close, how far, which light. I mean, you can do that in a matter of seconds. That's beautiful. I mean, that creates for me a massive advantage and an impetus to really kind of to let it unfold lifetimes with them. When in the theater, it was really like, yeah, well, the keyboard's there and the piano's there. That's about 50 meters away. And your mic is there, so I guess we just got to do this. And you can imagine how weird that was. It's like a huge black expanse. And then like 50 meters away, there's me and a musician kind of like, hey, we're over here. And it didn't work. And what can you do? Like, you know, it's there. The bell rings. And so I realized that wasn't good. The radio was very strange for me to imagine to perform like that. To rehearse, could you imagine me rehearsing? Could you imagine just going there from the mirror? Like, you know, like, taxi driver, you talking to me? Like, just going in the front of the mirror before I perform. So, 1945, anyway, revolution. I mean, that's insane. I mean, and then I'd rehearse and I'd be dripping in sweat and I'd be like, oh, I'm tired now, I've got to sleep. You know, when I perform, it's only one time. You can only do it that way. It's that one hit. It's really like a high. You do it once, you can't rehearse it four or five times before because then your energy's spent. It's really like, it's an expenditure. You've got a certain moment that you can release it, and you build that with time and the public and the trust, and you build that construct, and you build it out of pure improvisation. And not just improvisation of words, but improvisation of the space and the public. You go and you say, you walk in and you feel, ah, these people seem generous with their time, they seem attentive, they seem like they're going to be with me on this. Sometimes you walk in and it's like a thick cloud, and you're like, whoa, tension, like, there is something not right in this room. And I know it every time. I always can feel it. You know, I mean, a score could mean to me a thousand things. So I would say, yes, I can. But what that really meant, when it comes down to the reality of working on it, maybe I'd fail, maybe I really couldn't, but my initial thought was, sure, I could.
saliva dries out and the pool is still full. That's the end of the story. That's the end of Wasteful Illuminations, which I hope was not too wasteful. That's the end. Thank you.